the Flight 1549 audio recordings are released. NBAA gets support asking TSA for a rulemaking committee. And a third candidate emerges for FAA administrator. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, February 6, 2009. 1 day after the National Transportation Safety Board issued a report confirming multiple bird strikes on U.S. Airways Flight 1549 moments before the miracle on the Hudson, the FAA has released audio recordings and transcripts of communications between Captain Chesley Sullenberger and controllers at LaGuardia and the New York TRACON. They're certainly dramatic, but you can't listen to the audio from Cactus 1549 and not marvel at the calm and professionalism of the captain, including his last transmission, which was a brief response to being asked which runway he'd like at Teterboro. Quote, "We're going to be in the Hudson," unquote. The only hint at the tension, which had to be thick at both ends of this radio conversation, is Sullenberger's slip in referring to his flight as 1539, and controllers then referring to it as 1529. Hear these dramatic moments or read the transcript using a link at the bottom of the text version of this story at aero-news.net, or simply grab today's Aero News special feature. I'll edit the audio to save you some time. The National Business Aviation Association was joined by other general aviation groups yesterday in formally requesting that the Transportation Security Administration establish a rulemaking committee before barging ahead with its so-called Large Aircraft Security Program. NBAA made the request in a letter sent to TSA Acting Administrator Gail Rossides, co-signed by the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, the General Aviation Manufacturers Association, and the Experimental Aircraft Association. It reads in part, quote, "Given the proposal's substantial lack of data regarding the effect of this program on general aviation, and TSA's numerous requests for critical information from the public, we are formally requesting that TSA begin the steps necessary to establish a rulemaking committee. Creation of a dedicated work group would allow industry and the TSA to work together on requirements that would simultaneously enhance general aviation security and facilitate general aviation operations," unquote. NBAA President Ed Bolin had made the request before in public hearings held by the TSA, noting that for all the burdens it would place on GA, LASP offers no claims of any specific security benefit. The naming of a new FAA administrator by the Obama administration was once thought to be a formality for former pilot union president Dwayne Wirth. Then, longtime Senate aide Robert Herbert came highly recommended by his boss, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. Now, the Wall Street Journal reports the administration has the FBI vetting Randy Babbitt, an aviation consultant and also a former head of the Airline Pilots Association. The Journal quotes people familiar with the matter in reporting that former FAA Chief Jane Garvey is in line to get the number two job at the Department of Transportation and wants Babbitt at the FAA. While all three candidates are accomplished aviators and appear otherwise qualified, union old-timers remember Babbitt for his role in battling management at Eastern Airlines back in the day, and industry insiders say he has more support than Wirth. DOT Chief Ray LaHood reportedly told FAA officials he wasn't satisfied with the choice between Wirth and Herbert. LaHood told senators during his confirmation hearing that settling the chronic conflict between the FAA and the unions representing its employees would be an early priority. Let's just hope Babbitt is current on his taxes. Pratt & Whitney reports completing ground and flight testing of the Pure Power PW1000G demonstrator engine. The final phase of testing for the geared turbofan was completed jointly with Airbus on an A340-600 and involved 27 flights in more than 75 hours. The Airbus testing follows Pratt & Whitney's own ground and flight test program, which logged about 300 hours of ground testing and 12 flights on a 747. The company says its engine successfully completed all test objectives. The way is now clear for detailed design of the production version of the engine, which will be used on the Mitsubishi Regional Jet and the Bombardier C-Series. Both are scheduled to enter service in 2013. Up next on ANN, Seattle's Payne Field may get scheduled airline service. Bombardier announces layoffs, but also new hiring. And JetBlue pilots will remain non-union for now. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 6th. I'm Paul Plack. Seattle area air travelers may get another airport option. Wednesday night, Snohomish County Commissioners voted 4-0 to negotiate terms for construction of a new terminal at Payne Field with Allegiant Air and Horizon Air. The talks remove a barrier to the receipt of FAA funding to repair Payne's crumbling runways. Payne Field is the official Snohomish County Airport. It's the location of Boeing's Everett plant and the Boeing Future of Aviation Center and Tour Building. It's also home to Aviation Technical Services, a major maintenance, repair, and overhaul provider. Payne Field was named for U.S. Army 2nd Lieutenant Topliff Olin Payne back in 1941, when the Army took over the airport for use as a base during World War II. Allegiant Air and Horizon Air say they'd like to offer a total of 5 scheduled commercial flights daily from Payne Field, which is much more convenient and less congested than SeaTac. NIMBYs have pressured their county commissioners to just say no to the airlines, fearing that noise will grow well beyond 5 flights a day once the door is opened. On the other side, there was pressure from the Port of Everett, which had threatened to build the new terminal if the county commission would not, saying the area could not afford to lose Boeing jobs over dilapidated runways. While the county's decision to proceed doesn't guarantee final approval to build a terminal, it does satisfy the FAA requirement to conduct good faith talks with the airlines to qualify for the release of $7 million federal dollars earmarked for Payne Field. How good that faith will be, though, remains to be seen. The Snohomish Times published a statement from County Executive Aaron Reardon, which says, in part, quote, "While I and a majority of the council personally remain opposed to commercial air service at Payne Field, due to federal requirements, the county council had no other choice," unquote. There was mixed news yesterday from Bombardier Aerospace regarding its just-completed fiscal year and projections for the year ahead. While deliveries held up well, production cuts will bring layoffs. Bombardier announced 353 aircraft deliveries for the fiscal year ending January 31st. That number is down slightly from the 361 deliveries reported for fiscal 2007-2008, but hardly bad news against the current economic backdrop. A more sobering number was net aircraft orders, which accounts for cancellations. The 378 net orders for 07-08 was down about 46% from the previous year's 698. Noting that the big numbers posted in 07-08 represented an exceptional year, the company says it has, quote, "delivered a solid performance in view of the continued worsening of the economy and its impact on the aviation industry," unquote. For the current fiscal year, 2009-10, Bombardier says it expects deliveries of business aircraft to drop another 10%, but to more than offset that with deliveries of 10% more commercial aircraft, led by the popularity of its Q400 turboprop. The Q400 has enjoyed a resurgence among airlines looking for fuel efficiency on shorter routes. Bombardier says it plans no change in the production rates for its CRJ series regional jets. Regarding its employees, Bombardier says its long-term strategy is to establish stability in its permanent workforce by using more temps and outside contractors to adapt to temporary fluctuations in workload. Starting this month, the company says it will cut 1,010 temps and subcontractors and 350 permanent employees over a five-month period. That represents about 4.5% of workers at its facilities in Montreal, Wichita, and Belfast. Bombardier estimates resulting severance costs for the fiscal year at less than $5 million. At the same time, the company is recruiting to fill 600 permanent positions related to its new C-Series and Learjet 85 aircraft, and about 230 interior completion specialists. Those new jobs will be located at Bombardier's Montreal and Belfast plants. A Dallas, Texas law firm has filed a lawsuit against Continental Airlines, alleging airline negligence played a role in the Flight 1404 crash in December at Denver International Airport. That accident injured 38 passengers and the plane was destroyed, but there were no fatalities. The law offices of Frank L. Branson filed the suit on behalf of Houston resident Julie Kuhn. The suit is similar to one filed last month. It charges Continental and pilots David Butler and Chad Levang of negligence and failing to exercise the high degree of care required to safely operate and maintain an aircraft. The suit also asserts the pilots and crew failed to maintain control of the jetliner and take proper evasive action when problems arose, and failed to adequately protect passengers during evacuation of the plane. The 39-year-old plaintiff is seeking unspecified compensation for her back injuries, medical expenses, pain and mental anguish, loss of earning capacity, physical impairment, and disfigurement. The lawsuit also seeks exemplary damages against Continental based on the company's role in the crash. The U.S. National Mediation Board says an attempt to unionize pilots at JetBlue has fallen short. Newsday reports 646 ballots were cast in favor of the JetBlue Pilots Association out of 1,937 pilots eligible to vote. That's almost exactly a 33% margin in favor. Organizers concede the results appear to indicate JetBlue's pilots are reasonably happy with management right now. JetBlue Pilots Association leaders Captains Michael Sorby and William Evans said as much in November. Quote, "We have complete faith in our current company leadership and believe that this will be a cooperative effort. As our airline matures, we want to ensure that the career expectations of our pilots will remain intact, regardless of organizational changes." Unquote. The vote leaves JetBlue the largest U.S. carrier without any organized labor groups. Still ahead, Lance Air expands into new digs in Oregon. Cessna opens a new Citation Service Center in Arizona. And yet another bank thins its aircraft fleet. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wass GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, February 6th. I'm Paul Plack. Fresh off announcing it will supply 25 of its kit planes for use as trainers by the Colombian Air Force, Lance Air announced this week the company is moving its headquarters to a new, larger facility near Redmond Municipal Airport in Oregon. At 38,000 square feet, the building is 50% bigger than the old one and allows for continued growth. The company had hinted it needed more room to grow. The wait for its new pressurized Lance Air Evolution turboprop is up to 5 months. CEO Joe Bartels commented, quote, "The facility's centralized location will provide a more efficient production process. Additionally, the building's large open bay creates a very pleasant work atmosphere for our employees and customers," unquote. The move will start this month and is expected to be complete by April 1st. Cessna CEO Jack Pelton joined with Scott Smith, mayor of the Phoenix suburb of Mesa, Arizona, yesterday to celebrate the opening of a new Citation Service Center at Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport. The Mesa Center came online last month. It's one of 9 company-owned service centers and more than 30 authorized service facilities around the world. The Mesa facility replaces a smaller service center in Long Beach, California. It employs 77 people, many of them hired from the Mesa area. So far, none of those jobs have been affected by recent layoffs at Cessna. The company says the new service center has developed a partnership with Chandler Gilbert Community College, with 5 current students attending on Cessna scholarships. 2 current employees are CGCC graduates who are former scholarship winners. Mesa's general manager, Randall Soutier, is now on the advisory board at the school. The new 101,000-square-foot facility includes over 62,000 square feet of hangar space, along with office and back shop areas. Cessna has developed 12 acres of its tract, flanking 3 10,000-foot runways and a 125,000-square-foot aircraft ramp, leaving room for expansion if needed. And finally, another embattled financial institution that took federal bailout money is caving to political pandering and parting with part of its corporate aircraft fleet. On Wednesday, Bank of America announced it would sell off 3 of its corporate jets and a helicopter it inherited when it acquired Merrill Lynch. Bank of America spokesman Scott Silvestri declined to say how many aircraft the company still owns. FAA records showed the bank, which is based in Charlotte, North Carolina, owned 9 aircraft as of last year. Banking analyst Bert Ely notes that despite the perception of business jets as a perk, companies use the plane simply because it makes sense. Quote, "They are offices in the sky. They all say it's for security purposes, and while true, corporate jets also represent a significant cost savings for executives. Time is money," unquote. I'd suggest that Ely tell that to Washington lawmakers, but they already know. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi still uses her personal jet. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, we'll hear the audio recordings of communications between New York TRACON and U.S. Airways Flight 1549 during the Miracle on the Hudson. And if you haven't gotten to it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Get them automatically from iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, or our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.